You're listening to the I Can Relate podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Miller. On this podcast, we talk to relatable and amazing people with real-life struggles and joys, sharing the goodness of God. Each episode is designed to bring encouragement to your life. So make sure you subscribe today. Also, don't forget to give 5 stars and write a review so others can find this podcast and be blessed. Welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to episode 24. And I'm so excited because I think I say that every time we start the podcast. I'm so excited. But literally, this one is one I've been waiting to do. And it's like the timing of it and getting my friend and I to connect. And Lauren has had, have you had like one or two? So let me just say, I'm inviting my friend, Lauren Kneffel. She is on the podcast today and she has an amazing story of redemption and restoration and just all that God has done in her life. And it's just awesome to see. And Lauren, from the time that I asked you about the podcast, have you had one or two? I cannot remember babies in between. I can't remember
I think it's been two.
Really? Oh my goodness. So see, this has been long time coming, having Lauren on the podcast. And so really, when I say I'm excited about all my guests. And this one is just so special because your story is amazing. And of course, I heard it in a very small version when we were attending Rosedale Baptist Church. And we would do these different videos of expounding on people's stories. And so we did your story. And I just remember just God's divine intervention happening in your life and just when you were sharing it. And I just think, oh man, what a great story to share with someone else. Whether it brings hope for maybe a loved one that they're praying for, or maybe someone in their own, you know, you're listening and in your own life, you're struggling with something and maybe it's not the magnitude of Lauren's story, but it's something else. Anyway, I am just so excited. Thank you so much for joining me today, Lauren. And I know that you have a lot to share. So we're going to get right into it. So go ahead and tell me a little bit about yourself. I know more about you, but my listeners, just who you are, what you're doing now, how many kids you have, and just the great life that you're living for the Lord.
Okay. So my name is Lauren Kneffel. I have 6 kids. I am a preschool teacher and life is absolutely wonderful and insane all at the same time, but it's beautiful nonetheless.
Awesome. And then of course, she's married to Sean, who is just a wonderful, Christian man and a devout husband and father. And you can see
I forgot to mention him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's just the husband. It's okay. No.
Yes. And we've been married for actually 13 years.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. So, actually it's 13 years this month.
Okay.
I didn't even realize that. Like, that's pretty cool.
That is so awesome. That's so awesome. And I know that, you know, that's all part of your story as well. So Lauren, go ahead and share with me your testimony of how you came to know the Lord.
Okay. So, let's see, I was 23 years old, when I went to an AA meeting, actually. I was struggling with drugs and alcohol pretty bad at the time. And I started going to AA meetings with my mom. And I went to a meeting and Sean was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, he had like 8 years clean or something when I first met him.
Okay.
He's much older than me. Not much. He's eight years older than me. So, yeah, kind of a lot.
You get to like your 30s, it doesn't even matter. You know, like, I feel like once you hit late 20s, early 30s, it's like it doesn't matter.
It doesn't even matter. My mom was like, I want you to meet this guy. Like, he is so handsome. And I'm like, oh, mom, please. Like, I don't feel like meeting anybody that, you know, that she would be interested in. Like, that's just weird, right? Mm. So she's like, you gotta, you know, meet this guy, Sean. He's really got it together. He's so handsome. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Anyway, I met him and he was pretty good looking and I was like, okay, this is cool. So we kind of started like talking to one another and, you know, he had a lot of time clean and he was different than any other guy that I was used to. we would go out to eat and he would talk about the Lord. And like, that was weird to me. I wasn't used to guys taking me out on dates and talking about the Lord. And just like, he would talk about things that were just different than anything I was used to. And so I was drawn to that. Strangely, I was drawn to that. And I just thought something was different about him. So he actually started taking me to a church that he attended. And he introduced me to one of the ladies one of the pastoral staff wives. And she sat me down and she led me to the Lord. I was 23 years old then, and I'll never forget that day. I did end up going down a really slippery, terrible slope after that, but I never forgot that day. And that's why I truly believe that that day when I, gave my life to the Lord, that it was for real, because it's still like, no matter what I went through, like that specific moment is very clear. So that's how I kind of came to know the Lord. After I accepted Christ and, just truly believed that he was accepted into my heart, I got pregnant with my first child. And me and Sean were not married then. He was a godly man, but he wasn't perfect. And anyway, I got pregnant with my first child, and we ended up having him. And right after I had my first child, I was given pain medication, and that just reopened this door, that was closed. And, like the Bible says, when, I can't remember exactly how it went, but, the house was clean and swept and empty, and came back seven more demons stronger than itself. And that was exactly what happened in my life. I thought, well, I'm in pain, so I'm going to take these pain pills like I'm supposed to. But with my addiction before, I had no control. I couldn't control, once those pills entered my body, I was a different person and I had no control anymore. Yeah. And I did end up actually getting the prescription filled and started abusing them right away. And, so I had my first child and, became worse than the person I was before I started going to the AA meetings. I started stealing. I started just calling random doctors. I would go through the Yelp. This is the insanity of it. I would go through the Yellow Pages and call doctors right on down the Yellow Page list and tell them. I would call after hours so that they couldn't look up my chart and say, I had a terrible toothache, I was in so much pain, I needed them to call me something in. And most of the time they would, like, that is crazy. And then I would, eventually the pharmacy started realizing that, this is ridiculous. Your insurance isn't going to cover this anymore. You're getting too many pills. So I would start paying out of pocket crazy amounts of money for a little prescription, to the point where I had no money. So I had to figure out how to get money, which is never good for a drug addict. So I would have to, I hurt the people that I loved the most. And, looking back, I feel so bad, because my grandmother, who would do anything for me, she was the one, her and my mother, that I would hurt the most. I would steal everything that they had. My brother, I stole from him. Eventually they all started, telling me I couldn't come to their houses anymore. And that was hard for them. That's tough love, but they had to do that because I didn't want to hurt them, but I couldn't stop. So when they all cut me off, eventually, my husband even said, I'm going to take our son away from you. And you're not going to see him anymore if you do not get help. He did end up saying that, and so nobody was helping me anymore. Nobody even really felt bad for me. I think everybody just, didn't know what to do for me at that point. Yeah. So I started actually breaking into houses to get what I needed. I would actually take my son with me in the car seat. My husband had to go to work. I would put him in the car seat and I would drive around and I would pull over on the side of the road and I would break into houses. Wow. And I would try to find a window that was open and I would break into the houses. And so one time I actually broke into this house, and I took my son in with me in his car seat. And when I was leaving this lady's house, the first thing I would do is I would go through their medicine cabinet and see if I could find pills. I would just go through their drawers and see, you know, see if I could find any money hidden anywhere. Like, this is what I used to do. It was absolutely insane. That looking back, I just can't believe the person that I was. Mm. And so when I was leaving this lady's house, she was pulling up in the driveway, and she saw me leaving, and she came, you know, she got out of her car and was like, "What are you doing?" You know, obviously asking me questions.
Sure.
She called the police. I was high as a kite anyway. So, you know, I just talked to her like it was nothing. I wasn't trying to run and hide from her or anything. But I think she saw just this broken girl and this poor child, and she called the police. They ended up having a warrant out for my arrest.
Oh, wow.
I know, like, this is serious. And you know, that was a big deal. And the police, they came and got me one night. And I went to jail, and that was when my husband said, "You're going to do something. You got to do something now, or you're never going to see our son again." And for me, that was it. Cause
yeah.
I didn't want to live like this. Like, this was not fun anymore. It was fun at first, and now it wasn't fun anymore. Like, it completely had me wrapped up in chains where even if I wanted to break loose, I couldn't. There was just no getting out of it. And so when he said he was going to take my son and I would never see him again, that was when I was like, okay, what do we need to do? What do I need to do? How can I get right? And we actually started, we saw this sign on the side of the road for one of our churches, the church that we go to.
Yeah.
And it was a Friday night addictions program. And we started going there. And when we did, this lady befriended me right away. And, you know, she wanted to help me. She just was just a friendly person that came to this addictions program all the time.
Yeah.
And a few weeks later, you know, we would meet every Friday night and I would sit with her. And then one night she came to me and she was like, "You're not going to believe this." She said, "I got my court papers and you're the person that broke into my house."
Oh, wow. So she didn't even recognize you.
He didn't know it was me. And the craziest part of all is she went to that night that I broke into her house was a Friday. So she called the police, whatever, did what she had to do, and then went to church that night. And, you know, she stood up and she asked for everybody to pray for this lady and her child.
Oh, no. I know. It's just crazy.
And so she's powerful.
Said, it's crazy.
It makes me tear up. And
I know, me too. Yeah. She asked them to pray for this woman and child that, you know, broke into her house. She said that it's just the saddest thing. This girl seemed so young and lost, and this child needed a mother. And if they could pray, and they said they've been praying for me, and for me to show up there, and then her instantly to become my friend. So she was like, "I want to drop the charges.
Yeah.
If you will go away," because I was still struggling. Like, I, you know, and they actually sent me, the church that I was going to, sent me to a 6-month rehab where I really just, it was amazing. I feel like my eyes were opened there in a way that,
praise God.
I don't know. Yes, just in a huge way where the Lord just, how even in the craziness of my life, like the sin that I was living in, all of that, just how the Lord was totally at work. Like, even in my darkness, it just is crazy. And like, my husband, I told him to leave. I didn't want to be with him anymore because he was doing right and I was doing wrong. And he was just getting on my nerves because I wanted to keep doing wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would say, you know, "I'm not leaving. I'm going to keep praying," because I didn't make a promise to just you. I made a promise to the Lord. And because of that, I'm going to just keep praying for you and loving you anyway, awesome. even though I really don't like you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Wow. So powerful. And I mean, seriously, like I was tearing up. I'm tearing up right now. Like, just the thought of it, how that God just cares so much for even the people that are in darkness and are struggling with the bondage of chains that they can't seem to get away from. Today, fast forward to, you know, what God has done in your life and, you know, the fulfillment that you have received, which is far greater than probably any high you ever received.
Oh, yeah. So actually, one of the passages that hit me the most when I was in the house in Maine was about the woman at the well. And just for he who drinks of the water that I give will never thirst again. And just how, like, all my life I've been trying to find joy and happiness and peace in these pills and in this sin, and it never satisfied, you know. And then when I really just started investing my heart in the Lord and, you know, praying every day and just asking him to help me, I mean, it's amazing. It's what he has actually done. You know, he's given me, my whole family has completely been restored. And it took time. It really did take time for my husband to start trusting me again, because I did a lot of bad, terrible things that should never have been forgiven. And I mean that. But the Lord has been so gracious. He has literally taken the messiest of a life. He has taken something that was just absolutely disgusting, and he has given me a completely new name. Because when people used to think of me before, it was like, oh, you know, I didn't have any friends. No one trusted me. I didn't have my family. No one, I couldn't go in houses. People would have to hide everything that they had. And now it's like, now I have so many friends. The Lord has blessed me with a family, that today it's like they don't even remember, you know, like he's transformed it that much. And that I have the ability now, like on Friday nights, I still go to that addictions program and I'm able to see women coming in that are just like I was. And I'm able to tell them, hey, look, if the Lord could do this in me, he can absolutely change you too.
Awesome.
You know? So he has really, and the fact that I'm a preschool teacher in a Christian school, I never in a million years, if you would have told me I was going to be a preschool teacher, like I'm serious, 10 years ago, I would have said, you got the wrong chick. So he has been so, so very good and blessed me way beyond measure. Like, just thinking of all he's done, I'm overwhelmed because I don't deserve what he's given me. But there's still, like, you know, there's a lot of things that I notice still even today that, you know, the Lord has been showing me. But I ask him every day. I'm like, Lord, show me what I need to work on today.
That's good. Yeah.
And he makes it very, very clear, you know, the struggles that I still have. And I think it's just recognizing it, you know, and confessing it to whoever the offender is, or if there's not an offender, at least recognizing it and, you know, confessing it to the Lord and asking him to help you with that. But it's amazing what happens when you actually admit a struggle. A lot of people can't, you know, they don't want to admit that they have struggles, but I feel like for me, it's like, I have to constantly be on guard with my struggles, because if I let things slip enough, I'm afraid to get back to where I was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And just like you said, admitting, you know, if we humble ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So when God can heal us when we decide, I'm going to humble myself and confess this to the Lord that I got a problem. Like, I need your help. When we try to, like, just say, well, whatever, I'll just kind of move on and try to fix it, and okay, I'll do better tomorrow. But it's really going to him and having him work through us, and not us constantly, you know, and like they say, we're our greatest enemy, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just, we get in the middle of what God wants to do, and we just need to get out of the way. And part of that is by recognizing where we are at fault and confessing it to him. And see, that's the beauty of God. He takes our brokenness and he takes our mess that we make, and he says, I can still do something wonderful with this. Just give me a chance, yield to me, and your story will become so beautiful if you let me, you know, make the story, you know, let me help you.
You want to hear one more cool story?
Okay. Tell us. I always want to hear one more story.
If I would have a day where I didn't have any pills, I would have seizures. My body had to have something every day when I was using, or it didn't know how to act. So it would, like, go into full blown seizures. And I always had the same paramedics that would come to my house and have to take me to the hospital. It was like the same thing. Like every 2 weeks, it would be this paramedic lady that would come in. So she came to my house like 6 times. One of the times they actually said, my seizure it was like 5 minutes long, and I wouldn't come out of it. And they said to my mom, she was there. They said, if she comes out of the seizure, if she comes out of it, she's going to be brain dead. And so the fact that I'm not today is just, that's the Lord. Wow. Anyway, this paramedic came to our addictions program. One night she just wanted to check it out, and I was there, and this is after I was sober for a while, and and she got to see me, and she couldn't believe that it was me. I was supposed to be, they didn't even know I was going to make it, and I ended up being able to lead her to the Lord. Just because I know, like, that's
so
awesome.
Powerful.
How the Lord would take like that's the seizures and use that for his good. Like, he's always at work. He's intertwining literally every situation in our lives. And if you look to him, like, he will take that situation and use it for his good and for his purpose,
So beautiful. I'm so glad that you shared that last story there, because I think it's such a beautiful way to end the podcast, is just letting God take our messes and use it however he wants. And you will find so much fulfillment in that than trying to just do things your way or the way you think, if I do this or do that, whether it be, drug addiction or something else that's a stronghold in your life, just get out of the way and let God take over and create something so beautiful. And so that is so wonderful. Lauren, thank you so much for sharing your testimony and being on the podcast. And you can connect with Lauren on social media. She is on social media. And so you can go ahead and share with us your social media platforms, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, and you can give us.
I'm on Facebook.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And you're Lauren Kneffel, right? Lauren Kneffel. Awesome. and she'll be, if you're on social media and you follow me or anything like that, you'll see that she'll share this, and you can connect with her there and just follow her journey of God still, transforming as he's transforming all of us.
Thank you so much for having me. Like, I really have been, I've been waiting for this too. So this has been really, really fun.
Awesome. I know it's going to be a blessing and a help to so many people out there. And even if it's just an encouragement, a help to be the person in someone else's life, to pray, like that lady who stood up and said, I'm praying for this lady who broke into my house. Maybe there's someone you just need to pray for. You just need to continue to pray for, even though it feels like you just need it. You've given up hope. It's never going to change. It seems helpless or hopeless. Just pray for them. So maybe this has encouraged or inspired someone to pray for someone who just needs that extra prayer time. Thank you again, Lauren. Appreciate you being on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Becky. I appreciate you having me.
You're welcome. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I hope that you will share this with a friend. Also, if you can give me 5 stars and write a review, this will help others to find the podcast and be encouraged as well. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next time on the I Can Relate podcast.